Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samachay. We begin at the two dots, about 10 lines down from the top of Samachay Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is being learned L'ilui Nishmas Eugenia Ferdman, Gittel Bas Yehuda Leib. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. So we pick up, continuing our discussion yesterday about wine. Wine is a tremendously important subject in halacha as well as in life, and we continue that discussion. So Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina tells us, Kol Hamefik Morgain. Rashi understands this as follows. Rashi can be found on the last of the top wider lines. Kol hamefik mogin. Rashi says hamavir tfilas mogin avram. If somebody does not say shmon esrei, he doesn't daven mogin avram. The shmon esrei shein omro. He doesn't say it. In a situation, bishas gaiva, Rashi explains that means bishas shichrus, while he's intoxicated. Einam espal, if such a person doesn't daven while he's drunk, so then that's a very positive thing. Sogrin v'chosmin tzoros ba'ado. Rashi says, shelo yavo olav. This will mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not give him punishments that he might otherwise have gotten, because he didn't do something improper. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him credit for not doing something that would have been improper if he had done it. So sogrin v'chosmin tzoros ba'ado. And this is based upon a pasuk that we have in Iyov Shenemar. We'll have two different ways to interpret it. The first way is Rabbi Chanina's way of interpreting it is as follows. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Gaiva, when a person is drunk, Afike Moginim, and he doesn't do the Moginim, he doesn't say the Mogin Avram, then Sogur Chosam Tzor, then he will be sealed off from having Tzor, all these troubles and difficulties. Now, the Gemara asks, how do you know that the word Afike means that he will not daven? My mash with the high ofik lishno de avurehu, that he will not daven. So dirsiv, because we have another pasuk, and he over tells us, achai bogdu kimonochal, my brothers have rebelled against me, just like a stream flows, kafik necholim yavoru, just like a stream passes by. So we see this lashon of afik is yavoru, it means it passes by. In other words, if you pass the davening, if you don't daven, in a situation when you're intoxicated, that's a positive thing. That's the way Rabbi Chanina learns his pasuk. The same outcome is learned by Rabbi Yochanan, but he darshins it in a different way. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, on that pasuk, a different way of getting to the conclusion. Kol she'eino mefik itmar. He says, anybody who doesn't daven, he says, mefik means to daven, and eino mefik. So if you don't daven when you're drunk, that's a good thing. So here we have the same question. How do you know that the word mefik here means to daven? My mash with the high mefik, lishno de giluyehu. How do you know that this word of mefik is someone who davens, and therefore if you don't daven, it's a good thing? Dichsid, because the pasuk says, Vayero afike mayim, he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim where it says that the waters, the afike mayim, they will become recognizable, vayero, they were seen, vayigolu mostos tevel, and you'll be able to see the foundations of the earth. So therefore, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan both say it's a good thing not to daven while you're drunk, but they come about it from different perspectives, different ways to reach it. So the Gemara is going to ask, is there a nafkamina between these two? Michtid, the Gemara says, kroy mashma ben ma lemar. Both of them bring the same pasuk and essentially come to the same conclusion. Might be nayu. Is there a practical difference between these two ways of darshaning the pasuk? They both say, don't daven while you're drunk. Shmuel says, yeah. There is a difference between these two opinions on something that Rav Sheshes says. In the Gears in the Ein Yaakov, it says on the side, but my pligi, what are they arguing about with the Rav Sheshes? They're arguing about in what Rav Sheshes says over here. So what did Rav Sheshes say? The Rav Sheshes, Mosar Shinse L'shaime. Rashi explains that he told his shamis, Hanichu Lishon, he had drunk some wine, and he said, let me sleep it off, Lishon Ma'at, Ukishiagiyaz Mantila. However, before this Zman Tfila is over, Hakitzeni, wake me up. So, the difference between them is, Mar Isle Rav Sheshes, the Gemara says, or Mar Lesle the Rav Sheshes. The opinion of Rabbi Chanina doesn't agree with Rav Sheshes, as Rashi says, Rabbi Chanina do Amar Avure Boy, he should go and pass over the davening, so Lesle the Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, wake me up. Whereas Rabbi Chanina said, don't wake the person up. If he gets up naturally, Gizuntay, but don't preempt his getting over the drunkenness from his sleep. So don't wake him up. The Asul is Spalal Achiyar Me'ayilav. Rashi says that Rabbi Chanina's opinion would be, do not wake him up. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, you should wake the person up. He holds like Rav Sheshes. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosos brings out Rabbeinu Chananel, but you can see that in the Rabbeinu Chananel over here has a slightly different way of understanding Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan's derivation or drasha on the pasuk, but basically he ultimately concludes and says the machlokas is it better to sleep it off or is it better to walk it off? So Rav Sheshe says sleep it off, and that's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. And Rav Chanina says no, better to walk it off and not to sleep it off. Okay, different ways to understand this slight difference in the derivation from the pasuk. Mara continues and says, "Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Rav Chiya Barashi said, 'Name of Rav. Kol she'ein daito miyusheves alav ayispal. If somebody cannot daven properly, have a clear head, and he's not able to have daito miyusheves, he can't daven with a clear head. So then, don't daven ayispal. Then one shouldn't daven in this situation. Now, we'll see in a moment what this exactly means." The Gemara is not really suggesting, at least halacha l'maisa today, that a person not daven if he has a clear head. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that if a person is in a difficult financial strait, so he's allowed to daven. It talks about his boat sinking, if a person's in avelus, so they're obviously not in a perfectly clear mind, yet halacha l'maisa, we posit that a person should in fact daven. So this idea is more in theory than it is halacha l'maisa, at least nowadays. In the olden days, in the times of the Amoraim, they really daven with a tremendous amount of kavanah. And for them, to daven without that tremendous amount of kavanah would have been a negative, because they always daven with tremendous kavanah. It's a little bit like the halacha today, that it says that the chosin, the Gemara in Brachos says a chosin on the night of his wedding shouldn't say kriyashma. But today we say, if in fact the chosin were to say, you're not allowed to say kriyashma on the night of his wedding, so that would be mechze kiyura. It looks like he's bragging and an arrogant person who says, all the time I daven with such great kavanah. So tonight, since I'm tired in the midst of getting married, so I can't daven with such kavanah. The implication is that you always don't daven with such kavanah. So now you're saying that you always daven with such great kavanah, so you're mechzikur, you look like you're an arrogant person, and that fits in with our understanding here, halacha l'maisa, this doesn't apply. Even if you're daitum yusheves, even if you're not daitum yusheves nowadays, we still daven. In any event, this is what Rav held, that if you can't daven properly, then don't daven. And it's based upon a pasuk. We'll see in a moment what exactly this pasuk means. Mishum shenemar, batsar au yoreh. If a person is in some sort of a difficulty, he's in tsar, in other words, he can't have his mind settled, au yoreh, don't paskin. Now, there's only one problem. It sounds like it's a pasuk, but there is no such pasuk. Rashi tells us that bodakti achar hamikrozeh, I looked to see in Tanakh, is there such a pasuk? There ain't no b'chol haksuvim, and there is no such pasuk in Tanakh. If Rashi tells you there's no such pasuk, then there is no such pasuk. So Rashi suggests shema b'sefer ben sirahu. Maybe this is from the Apocrypha. Now, Ben Sira didn't make it into the 24 Kisvei HaKodesh, but it's still a good book. Ben Sira, according to many, was Yirmiyahu's son, and he was a very righteous individual, and he has many very good things that are quoted in the Sefer Ben Sira that are often mentioned in the Gemara. So Rashi says, and actually in Tosos he brings down, this is also Yerushalmi in Brachos, that said this Pasuk, quote, this Batsar Oyore comes from Ben Sira. So that's Rashi's understanding, and the first opinion in Tosos saying it's from Yerushalmi. Then Tosos brings down the Rabbeinu Shmuel, who says that, no, this is the pasuk that we learned in yesterday's shir, where it said, Shiminozos aniyah v'shikores v'lo miyayin. And that's what this pasuk is talking about. But Tzar al Yoreh is a reference back to that pasuk. Then there's a third pshat in Tosos from the Rabbeinu Tam that says, it's actually very common in Shas that we don't quote a pasuk accurately. And he says, this is a pasuk from Eov, where it says, Hayaroch shuach lo batzor. Kolomar, b'shas tzora al tarot tfiloscha. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam in Tosa says. So we have these three opinions as to where this pasuk is from or what exactly it's referring to. In any event, that's what Rav says. Don't daven if you can't really have a clear head. Rechanina, b'yomu derasach, when Rechanina, who would get sometimes upset or angry, lo matzli, he wouldn't daven because he couldn't concentrate properly. Again, not something that we do today, because we'd be mechze kiyur if you said, oh, today I can't daven properly. It implies that yesterday you could daven properly, which nebuch is not true. Omar, and he said, based upon this pasuk, but Tzara Yorik, again, the same, quote, pasuk, either from Ben Sira, or from the pasuk that we learned yesterday's shir, or from a different pasuk in Eov. Fine. Marukva biyoma deshusa, marukva on a day that it was shusa. Rashi explains that Yom HaDeshusa is Ruach Dromis min HaSheves bo, the Chazaka. This is a southern wind that blows and it's very strong and it unsettles people, and therefore don't go and daven on such a day or go and judge on such a day. In fact, some suggest that this was why Chai Yisrael didn't get bris milah in the midbar, except for Shevet Levi, which did, because this southern wind was always blowing, and it could be dangerous. Now, that's the understanding that Rashi has. In the Rabbeinu Chananel, he brings down, Yom of the Shusa means Yom Ovim, a cloudy day. And he wouldn't go to judge in that day. So, Marukva, Biyom Adishus, either this southerly wind blowing day or on a cloudy day, Lo Havinofik LeBeidin. He wouldn't go to the Beis Din to go and be a judge. He wouldn't judge cases. Amr Nachman Yitzhak, Hilchasa, Bayot, Silusa, Bekichyom Adistina. He says, if you want to go and judge properly and get a correct psak, you need to have a nice clear day, like Istina. Istina, Rashi says, Kim Shimanan Shevis, Ruach Tzfonis. Yom Oruhu, when the northerly wind blows, which is a calming wind, so it makes it a nice sunny day. And again, with Rabbeinu Chananel, it blows away the clouds in a day, the Noach Lakol, and it's good for everybody. And therefore, on a southerly wind day, it's not good. On a northerly wind day, it's good. Amar Abaye said, Iormeli aim, kirev kutcha. Abaye said, if my mother, again, we mentioned numerous times in Shas, Abaye Nebuch, his father, died shortly after conception, and his mother died childbirth, and he was raised by this aim, by this governess who took care of him, and he constantly quotes it throughout Shas. So Omer Liam, he says, this woman who raised me, this governess, Kirev Kutcha, if she said, please bring me some Kutach, Kutach was this dip, this spoiled milk dip with other things inside of it, so if his mother, this governess, would bother him to do something, Rashi says, Afilu tzivui avoda kala, haysam evatelis osi. He says, if he was distracted in any way, even by doing such a simple thing as passing the kutach, he couldn't learn as well. Lo tinoi, he wasn't able to learn well. Rashi says, don't think he didn't learn. Lo yisi shone, kemoshi shenisi, he wouldn't have the same level of concentration. Of course he learned, but he says he felt that in some way this distracted from the level of learning. Amar Rava, Rava said similarly, I kitzarton kina lo tinoi. If there was some sort of a louse that had bitten him, so he couldn't learn well that day as well. Now, again, they're on a different madrega. We can't even begin to understand the madrega. So these slight distractions somehow prevented them from reaching their perfection in learning. Mabari the Ravina, Avdole ime zayin money. On the side it says the girsa, not money, has the girsa levushe. And also on the side it says that this isn't Rava who said the previous statement. It says that it was Ravina who said the previous statement. And that's why maybe it makes sense over here to say Marbere de Ravina, because we just spoke something about Ravina. So Mars, who's the son of Ravina, said that his mother, because she saw maybe what happened to Ravina, that he couldn't concentrate if he had been bitten by a louse, so Adela Ime, Zayin Mani, or Zayin Mabushe, the Zayin Yom, he had a separate set of clothing for every day of the week, and this way, apparently the lice would go on dirty clothing, or soiled clothing, sweaty clothing, and therefore he wore a separate set of clothing every day to prevent the lice from distracting him from his learning. Now we continue our discussion. Amar of Yehuda, Yehuda says, "Lo ivri leilya elushen sa," that the nighttime was created by a Kodesh Baruch Hu for sleeping. Again, learning is during the day, and sleeping is at night. Now, this isn't talking about all the nights, because we have elsewhere in the Gemara, it says that in the long winter nights, those are made for learning. So Tosus brings down over here, that talking here, nights are made for sleeping, are on the very, very short summer nights. You know, the sun goes down at 9 and rises at 4. So there, go to sleep at night. Kamo leil tkufas tamos, like the very short nights in the height of the summer. So that's when the night is good for sleeping. In the winter, when you have much longer nights, so the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that's a good time for learning. Then it says further, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Lo ivri siara, the moon wasn't created, the siara is the moon, so the light reflected from the sun that the moon gives off, Elilagirsa, was made for Torah study. In other words, one should study at night. A person should not only study during the day, but a person should study at night as well. Amri Leila Rav Zeira, people would tell Rav Zeira, Mechad den Shmaisach, oh, you're so sharp, your teachings are unbelievably sharp, your psak halach is unbelievably great. So Amalu, so we told those people, they told them this, that's because the Yamame Ninu, because I learned during the day, and that's when the person can accomplish the best learning. Maybe I would also suggest here, it's all about when a person's fresh, after a hard day at work, and if the person's exhausted at night, so he possibly can't learn as well. So it's always, that's why we have in yeshivas, they always have the limude kodesh in the morning and the limude chol in the afternoon. You want to do your best learning when you're bright and fresh early in the morning, and therefore you want to get the most from your learning. So that's what Rav Zeira said, because I learned during the daytime and not maybe when I was too tired and exhausted at night. Now the girsa that we have next is Ormalei Barate de Rav Chista or Chista. Rav Chista's daughter said to her father, Rav Chista. On the side it says, Amrinon le Benose, his sons said to their father Rav Chisda. In any event, whoever it was, either the daughter or the sons, they said to their father Rav Chisda, Lo boy mar meinam purta. Now again, notice the respect that the child, either the daughter or the son, spoke with their father. Doesn't the master, he spoke in the third person. Lo boy mar meinam purta. Would the master like to sleep a little bit? So Amalah, the answer that we have is that he told his daughter. On the side it says, Amar lahu, he told his sons. In any event, Rav Chisda responded back to his children, Hashta osu yome da'ariche v'katine. There will be a time when there will be very long days. Rashi explains the long days are referring to Yomim Shubakever. That's when you're in the grave. The days are very long. And there will be very short. V'katine means lasok b'toruv mitzvos. There'll be no time to do Torah mitzvos then. Neis chavshi min ha-mitzvos. And they'll be very long because there's nothing you can do. So therefore he says, there's plenty of time for me to sleep then. V'neinom tuva, I will go to sleep then. In other words, when I'm not in this world, I'll have plenty of time to sleep. When I'm in this world, I'll sleep only what is absolutely necessary. He says, we who learn Torah during the daytime, so we are considered day workers. And the people who work during the day, so they're, you know, okay, they're going to try to learn at night, but the better thing is to go and learn during the daytime when a person has his mind clear and fresh. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Yozif Upora. Rav Acha bar Yaakov worked. Rashi says that Hayakovelo Lishnos Kach V'Kach Prokim Biyom. He set aside a certain amount of learning every day. He learned this many prokim, this many times he would chazer and learn whatever he was learning. Vayirogu Lasuk Biyom, and that's what he would do during the daytime normally. But sometimes his business dealings took extra time. He was busy working during the day to make a parnasa, and therefore he paid back. So let's say he's supposed to do 20 parakim of gemara every day. So he was only able to do 15 during the daytime because his business took a little bit longer, so he paid back those 5 extra ones at night. So he would always make up. And this is a wonderful idea. This is the whole idea of daf yomi. So if you can't do it in your regular time during the day, so you say, I'll make it up at night. If you can't do your regular set learning, that's the idea of we're going to be asked, Kavata Itim LaTorah. Did you set up time? So this is exactly what Rav Acha bar Yaakov did. He set up time. I'm going to learn 10 hours today. No, if he wasn't able to learn the 10 hours in his normal time, so he didn't go to sleep until he finished his learning. Beautiful. Rav Elazar says, if a person is coming back from the road, his mind is still going to be involved with his travels. And as Rashi says, Shein daito miyusheva solov, he won't be able to properly daven, again in the days when they did properly daven, ibnei tarach aderech, he's still going to be travel, he's going to have jet lag, he's going to still be not fully clear and able to daven in the normal way. Now, this fits in with in those days that they daven, but obviously it wouldn't apply today. But it's interesting, the Ben Yoyada says that this is talking about a Tfilas Nedava. So he says, this would apply even nowadays. We don't do Tfilas Nedava at all. But let's say a person wanted to do a Tfilas Nedava, you really need to have a clear head to do that. So the Tfilas that are Keva, the 3 times the Dava Shachas Min Chabarev every day, so then we certainly say to do that. But even nowadays, a person should never do a Tfilas Nedava unless he can really do it right. So certainly, if somebody's coming in off the road, where there's already, you know, 2 strikes against them because of the travel weariness, so therefore, don't do a Tfilas Nedava. And that makes the Ben Yoyada makes this even very, very applicable in more modern times. And it's based upon a pasuk. The pasuk is from Ezra. I read the whole pasuk. There's a word here that we have in our Gemara as Achva, which is a certain place, and it really should be Ahava. So I'll read it with the correct girsa. And it says, the pasuk says, Shnei Ma'avo Ek Betzeim El Hanar Haboel Ahava V'Nach Neshom Yomim Shlosha V'Avinam Bon V'Gomer. We see this idea that they took them to the place where the river comes to this place known as Ahava, and they stayed there for 3 days, and Vavina bomb, and then I was able to look into it, Bina, I was able to investigate into it, and therefore Ezra said that for the first 3 days, they weren't able to do so, because they still had jet lag, they still were not fully clear-headed from the travels. Similarly, Avu Adishmuel, Ki Asi Ba'urcha, when Shmuel's father would travel on the road, lo metzali tlos yomi. He also wouldn't daven for 3 days because of this jet lag. Shmuel lo metzali beveso dis beshichwa. Similarly, his son Shmuel wasn't able to daven in a house that had shichwa, that had, Rashi says, reyach of shichwa. It had the smell of beer. It would distract him. And Rapapa lo metzali beveso dis beharsina. And Rapapa couldn't daven properly in a house that had this, kasa de harsina is like a dried fish or a fried fish that's chopped up, and he wouldn't be able to daven because of the smell of this fish. That's what Rashi says. This be reich shechra, reich hashechar, and mishum reich of the harsina. Now, for us, these things wouldn't bother us, unfortunately. But to these great Amoraim, they would be very difficult for them to daven with these smells. Ruchanina says, call hamispat debieno, somebody that can find pitoy. Pitoy is like seduction, can be appeased from drinking his wine. So then, yeshbo midas kono. He is like a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is a person who is doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And this is based upon the Pasuk Shnema, Vayorach Hashem Esreach Nichof Gomer. When Noach came out of the Teva, so he brought various korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyocho, smelled those korbanos. And this is, the Bach says, this is alluding to the idea that we just said, Hainu Mashapirish, the Reach Hashecho Mishachraso. So this is the same idea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu smelled it, and it, quote, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy with this. So Amr Chia, called Yashid Bieno, somebody who is able to have a clear das from drinking his wine. Remember the other day we said, Reb Nachman felt that he needed to take a little drink in order to have a clear head. So it says, Yesh bo das ayin zakenim. So if somebody can have a little bit of wine and that clears his head, so he'll be like the Sanhedrin. He'll be like the das of ayin zakenim. What exactly does this mean? So yayin, the word yayin has a gematria nitan ba'ayin osios. That's how Rashi understands this. The word yayin has a gematria of 70, right? The two yuds are 20 and the nun is 50, 70. And likewise, the word sowed, not visod, it's just the word sowed, because it tells us and then it says the word sowed. So the samach is 60, the vav is 6, and the dalet is 4, so that's 70 also. Nitan ba'ayin osios. It also has a gematria of 70. And we have the famous expression, nichnas yayin yotzeso. When wine comes in, the secret come out, right? Loose lips sink ships. So we have this idea that when wine makes a person inebriated, so it loses his inhibitions. That's why people with alcohol do all sorts of various improprieties, and that's why it's such a big problem. In any event, if you can take your wine and use it to make your head clear, that's great. Amr Chanan, lo nivra yayin ela lenachem avelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created wine, Rav Chanan says, for nichem avelim, yayin yisamach levav enosh, a person who's nebuch in a very depressed, sad state. He lost one of the zayin krovim. So that is a situation where wine was created to give that person a little bit of a nechama. However, it's also created, l'shalein, sochol rishoyin. It also is to give, as Rashi explains, Sheshosin Usmechin Wakablin Olomon Bechayehim. They get the reward for anything that they did good. Even a Rasha does some good things. Esav was a Rasha Gomer, but he was a good son to his father, to Yitzchak. And so a Rasha who gets Schar will get it in this world. And wine is the Schar that he gets, the enjoyment of drinking wine. And this is based upon a pasuk from Mishlei, Shenemar, Tnu Shecho Li Oved V'Gomer. The word Oved means to the lost one. The Rashi explains, Oved here means to the Rasha. In other words, give wine, give this Shechar to the Rasha, and that will be for him. And then the end of the pasuk, it says that it will also go through the Mori Nefesh, so the people that are very sin, i.e. the Avelim, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created wine. Furthermore, Amar Bichanan bar Papa, he said the following, Kosh ein yayin nishpach besoch beso kemayim. If somebody doesn't spill wine in his house, just like you spill water, in other words, that you're Baruch Hashem, you're well enough off, and if a little bit of wine spills, you don't get so upset. Just like if a little bit of water spills, you don't get upset. So, ein b'chlal bracha. If you're in such a nebuch poor state that if a little bit of wine spills, you get very, very upset because it's such a big financial loss for you. So that's not a good thing. Shenemar. And this is based upon the pasuk where it says, uveirach eslach mecho v'yes meimecho. The pasuk says that your bread and your water will be blessed. So we make a hekish over here in the pasuk. It says lechem and mayim. So ma lechem shenikach b'kesef ma'aser. Just like you can take with ma'aser shein money and purchase bread in Yerushalayim, so too, the mayim must be something that you can purchase with ma'aser sheni money. Now, you're not allowed to purchase, we learned earlier in the Masechta, you're not allowed to go purchase with ma'aser sheni money water. You have to purchase, we had a whole klalu pratu klal there, what you're allowed to purchase. So too, this mayim, af mayim shenikach b'kesef ma'aser, this must be talking about a type of liquid that can be used to be purchased with ma'aser sheni funds. Well, mind you, what is an example of such a liquid? Yayin. This is yayin. It calls it mayim, v'kokorile mayim. Why does it call it water? Turn to the Amud Beis. Inishbach beveso kemayim ikabracha. To teach us over here that uveirach eslach mecho v'yes memecha. If you can afford to spill a little bit of, quote, wine slash water in your house, so then you have bracha in your house. Baruch Hashem, you're in a good financial state. V'low, low. And if not, nebuch, if you can't afford to spill a little bit of water slash wine in your house, so then you're not in a good financial state. Now, there's an interesting halacha that comes out of this. Many people are aware that there's a custom specifically by Havdalah on Matzi Shabbos. It's brought down that the custom doesn't apply on Matzah Yantif, for example, but on Matzi Shabbos, when a person fills up his kos Havdalah, he should spill a little bit. He should overflow it a little bit. And that's exactly based upon this, that you should have it overflowing, and it's like a skula, a simen, that you have a good week. This coming week will be a good week for you, that you can, Baruch Hashem, afford to spill a little bit of wine. Mishnah Berurah does bring down, don't do too much. It shouldn't be about tashlis. It shouldn't be overflow it and pour out 5 liters. No, it should overflow it a little bit. A little bit should come out. And this is this bracha that your berach eslach b'cho, the es memecha, that the wine overflows a little bit. On Matzi Shabbos, it should be like a skula, a good simen for the rest of the week. Then we have the Gemara telling us a very, very famous statement. Many people have heard this statement. This is where it's from. Amar Riloy. Riloy tells us this from Masech de Derech Eretz Zuta, one of the minor tractates. It's not part of the Daf Yomi. And it is a very important Masech that teaches us a lot of things. So it says, Bishlosha Dvarim Odom Nikar. You can tell what a person is by the following three ways that he acts. So it tells us, and it's a nice play on the words over here. It's a alliteration, and it tells us you can tell what a person is. B'shlosha dvarim odom nikar, b'koso, how he drinks his wine, can he hold his wine, what does he do with his wine, or b'kiso, how does he use his money in his wallet, is he generous with his money, is he stingy with his money, or b'kaso, and how does he deal with anger. Rashi says, b'kiso means kishinose v'nosein ibnei odom. How does he interact with other people, bamuna or not? Does he do his business dealings properly? Does he take care of things properly with his wallet? Or is he, Rahman al-Islam, doing incorrect things with his wallet? And Picasso, Rashi says, she'ino kapdon, and that's very interesting. Rashi says, yoser midai. He's not makbid more than is needed, more than is appropriate. A little bit of hakpada sometimes is fine. You're not supposed to get walked on and stepped on by everybody. But too much is certainly no good. And certainly to get angry, it says, a person should be very, very careful with kas. And a person is angry, so it says, kol mine gehenim sholtenbo. The person gets angry, so he can't think straight. That's why it tells us you're not supposed to be mafias a person when he's angry, because it's not going to be successful. Then the Ben Yoda says a couple of things here. He says, why does it tell us the number three? We could count ourselves. So he says that you need all three to really evaluate the person. Don't evaluate them too much by any one individual thing. And he also says it's a progression. The Koso, you don't have wine all the time. Bakiso, you're only dealing with 6 days a week. Picasso, that's 7 days a week. So you can tell what a person is by all the different times of his life. And then the Derech Eretz Zuta, it brings down that there's a fourth one. It's known as Kesuso. The way a person dresses can also tell you a lot about a person. And it also says over there, Af B'dibor. I would say Sichoso. So if you have the Samach sound still. So you can tell a person is by the way he talks. Okay. This concludes a whole discussion that we've had about wine and tefillah and Torah study with wine. And now we go back to what the Masechta and this parak is dealing with, some of the halachos of Erevin. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda sending Rav, Yisrael v'nochri bapnimius. Here we're talking about a inner room and an outer room. The inner room can only reach the outside by going through the outer room. They have the right to go past from their inner chotzer in through the outer chotzer to get outside to the Rishus HaRabim, to the Mavui. And you have a Yisrael and a Nochri living together, one Yid and one Goy, living together in the middle area. Rashi says either in the chotzer or they have houses opening up into the chotzer. And in the outer chotzer, there's just one Yid, the Yisrael Bachitzona. So this was the scenario. And Bo Maisel Lefnei Rebbe, and Rav Yehuda Marav says that this situation came before Rebbe. Do they need to go and make a Erev Chatzeros in between the inner and outer courtyard in order for them to carry? And do they also need to go and be maskir the rights from the non-Jewish person? And Rebbe said, unless you do that, v'osar, you can't go and do this unless you have all of these things. You need to have an Erev Chatzeros between the two courtyards, and as well you need to have the rights rented from the non-Jewish person. The same question was brought Lifnei Rav Chiya, and he also agreed with Rebbe v'osar. He also passed in this way. Now, what exactly are the circumstances here, and what can we learn from this statement of Rehudah Marab? So that's what the Gemara now asks. Yosuv Rabba v'Rav Yosef b'shule pirkei d'Rav Sheshes. Rabba and Rav Yosef was sitting, Rashi explains, b'shule pirkei d'Rav Yosef means la'achar shesima drosha. Rav Sheshes was giving a drosha, and at the end of the shir, Rav Sheshes said, "V'yosef Rav Sheshes Sukomar." After he gave this statement over of Yehuda Marav, so he said, "Keman Amro Rav Lishmaise." Who did Rav go in accordance with? We previously had a machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Lezim and Yaakov. Rav Meir said that even one person with a non-Jewish person, one yid with a non-Jewish person, has to be maskir the rights from him. Even one non-Jewish person can ruin it, unless you rent the rights. And Rav Lezim and Yaakov said that one wouldn't ruin it, but if two yidden are living over there, he says, in that situation, only did the rabbis institute that you have to be maskir from the non-Jewish person. Now, we had this machlokas previously, and the Mora is now questioning Rav Sheshes. He's saying, what exactly is the sheet of Rav Yehuda Marav? Does he hold Kiman Amro Lishmaise? Does he hold Rav Meir? Does he hold, like the opinion of Rav Meir, that even one yid living with one Guy Rav Meir Lishitaso is always Choshish Lemiyuta, so he's concerned that this is a Dover Shriach enough that one Yid would live with one Guy, and even though there's a concern Shema Yaro that he may come to kill him, no, he's willing to take those chances, and therefore the rabbis instituted, since we don't want you to live in that situation, so the rabbis instituted this gezerah that you have to be maskered from the Guy because in the hopes that that'll be difficult enough to do, the Guy won't want to do it, as we said, and therefore you'll move away, and therefore does this sheet of Yehuda Marav go only according to Rav Meir? And that was what Rav Sheshes had said. And Rabbah, Karkish Rabbah Reshe, Rabbah said, yes, I agree with you. Rashi says, hold the Lidvarim. Rashi said, he's basically nodded yes. However, Rav Yosef disagrees. Amar Rav Yosef, I don't understand. You have two great people here, Trey, Gavri, Ravri. Two great people over here, like Rabbanu, like Rav Sheshes and Rabbah. They both are saying the same mistake, Litu, Bahai, Milsa, they're both making the same mistake. Because if, in fact, what they said is true, that this opinion that Rav Sheshes brought down from Yehuda Marav is only going to Rav Meir, so then there were extraneous people in this story, in this situation. Ikrav Meir, Solom Li Yisrael B'chitzona. So then why would I need to have a Yid in the outer one? Even if you just had a Yid and a Goy in the inner one, they would need to be maskir from the Goy, because that's Rav Meir's Shita. And they're going to tell me, okay, B'chitema, Maiso HaShoyu, Kachoyu, then it wasn't teaching us a case in theory. This was a real practical shaila that was brought to him. And as a result, he just paskined on this case. He wasn't trying to teach us something extra from having the yid in the outer chotzer. Those were the circumstances. So then, that can't be, because habo mine mi rav. Because after Rav taught this statement, they asked from him, pinimi bimakomo mahu. What happens if the yid on the inside doesn't go outside? So in this situation, he and the yid are just, the yid and the guy are just on the inside. They don't have the rights to go into the outside. So then, in this situation, would he in fact still be chayev, obligated to go be maskir from the non-Jewish person? Vabalhem, no, mutter. In that situation, so then it's only one yid with one guy, and we don't paskin like Remeir, as we said previously. We paskin like Rav Lezim and Yaakov, that it's only the rabbis instituted this gezerah, you have to be maskir from the Akum, when there were two yidden present. So obviously this can't go according to the opinion of Rav Meir, and it wasn't just the Maisa Shahaya. So therefore, who is it go like? So Rav Yosef says, Elamai, what are you going to tell me? Rav Lezim and Yaakov? Oh, so it's not Rav Meir. It goes like Rav Lezim and Yaakov, that you need to have two yidden to go and require the yidden to be maskir from the goy, so that's also not correct. Ha'amar, achu shnei Yisraelim osrim zel zeh. In order for it to be considered that there are two Jewish people here, you need them both in the same chatzer. So here, you have the inner one, and you have the outer one. Says one yid, and he doesn't ruin it for the other one. Because, as we'll learn later in the Masechta, we already had this previously as well, that according to the opinion of the Chachamim, a individual person doesn't go and ruin it, even though he's in his courtyard and has right to go through the other courtyard, he doesn't ruin it for the other person. Regal amuteres b'mkoma, eino oseres shelo b'mkoma. So that can't be it either. So what must it be? We don't hold like the Chachamim. Ella, this goes like Rabbi Akiva. Is that what you're going to tell me? That this statement of Yehuda Marav only goes according to Rabbi Akiva? Ella, Rabbi Akiva, who holds amar regal amuteres b'mkoma, oseres shelo b'mkoma? Is that the Chiddush over here? According to that, Lomli Nachri. So then the presence of the non-Jewish person in the story isn't necessary, because just one yid on the inside and one yid on the outside, they would ruin it. The yid on the inside would ruin it for the yid on the outside, unless they made an Erev. So Afil Yisrael Nami. So you don't need to have the Nachri in the case scenario here. Why are we given that piece of information? So Rav Yosef says, this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua. No, it makes very good sense. Le'olam, that this statement, the Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, goes, in fact, Ki Rabbi Eleza ben Yaakov Ulcha Rabbi Akiva. It's a combination of the two shitas. Rabbi Eleza ben Yaakov, that you need to have two yidden before the rabbis will go there, that you have to be maskir. And it goes like Rabbi Akiva, who says, Regal hamuteres bimkoma o serish lo bimkoma. Oh, so you need both of them here. And v'hoch v'mayeskina. So what's the chiddush here? Kigon she'ervu. We're talking about a case where the inner yid did make an erev chaseris with the outer yid. So I might have said taimo the ikonachri the osir. The only reason why this would be ruined is because you have a guy here and they weren't masking from him. Avoleka nachri lo osir. But the chiddush would be if the nachri wasn't there, since they made an erev chaseris, it would be good. Therefore, the chiddush is to tell us that even though they made an erev chaseros, if there's an achri on the inside, he would ruin it based upon the shita of Rabbi Akiva Regel. Hamuteres bimakoma, oseres shalo bimakoma. Now the Gemara says, a question on a related case. We just had the case of Yehuda Marab. We had the yid and the guy on the inside and the yid on the outside. What about the other way around? By Mine, now the Yisrael we have is Rabbi Eliezer, but on the side it says it should be Rabbi Elazar. So the Amora, Rabbi Elazar, asked the following Shaila. By Mine, Rabbi Elazar, may Rav. He asked from Rav the following Shaila. What if it was a Yisrael v'nochri b'chitzona, the exact opposite case. He had a yid and a guy in the outer chotzer, and only a single yid, the Yisrael b'pnimius. And on the inner one, you had a yid. So mahu. In this situation, the exact opposite scenario, here you have, again, the yid and the guy on the outside, and just the yid on the inside, as opposed to the previous case of Yehuda Marab, which was the yid and the guy were on the inside, and just the yid on the outside. So Rabbi Elazar is asking Rav, what is the halacha? What are the two sides to the coin? Hasam, in the case that we just had with the yid and the guy on the inside, the reason why we said that you have to go and may be maskir from the guy or else he'll ruin it is because taima mishum d'shriach d'dayir. Because in that situation, a yid will live with a guy in the same chatzer because the mirsis nachri, the nachri is not going to do anything to the yid in the inside. We don't have to be concerned that he's going to go and kill him because the outer yid said, hey, I never saw the yid leave. So what happened to him? Where is he? And he'll tell on the guy if he kills the yid. He'll call the police. He'll go and prevent it. So therefore, in this situation, maybe only there do we go there that you're not allowed to go and have a situation where the guy is present and you don't mask it from him. V'sobar. Hashed Yisrael v'amarli, because the guy is afraid, the mirsis nachri, he's going to say at any moment, the yid can say, hey, where's that yid on the inside? Yisrael, da'ava gabach, hecha, the yid that was with you, where is he? So in that situation, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that it's like having two yidden over there, and the guy will in fact go and require to be maskir from him, or else he will ruin it. But in our case that now, Rabbi Elazar is asking, when you have the yid and the guy only in the outer one, and you have the yid alone in the inner one, so then avalhocha amina lei nafak ozale. The guy in the outer one could go and kill the yid there, because what's the yid on the inside going to say? He's going to come outside and say, hey, where's the other yid? But he can't state for sure that he didn't leave on his own. So therefore, in this situation, you might say that the rabbis, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm not going to say that this is a typical, normal situation and you have to be masked from the guard. This would be like one yid living with one guy. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's not a davar shchiach. So too, this is not a davar shchiach because the yid living on the outside, he has to be very much afraid that the guy is going to kill him. And therefore, maybe in this situation, we wouldn't need to have the shchira from the guy. Or maybe not. Odilma, no. Hachanami mirsis. Here we could say that the guy is also still going to have a fear because, you know what? If he starts up with the yid in the outer chamber that's living with him, at any moment, the yid from the inner chamber could suddenly walk out and see him with a knife and see him with a gun. The sabah hashta osi yisrael v'chazili. And he'll see me kill him and then I'll be in a lot of trouble. So therefore, in this situation, there is a davar shchiach here, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov would in fact say that we're gozer. That's the question that Rabbi Elazar asked of Rav. Rav Paskins, Omalei, Tein Lechocham, V'yech Kamod. As Rashi says, that Kihechi, the Hosim also, just like in the first case, you perfectly did an analogy over here and said, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. The second one is right. Hochanami Yosser. We have to be concerned over here that it would be a Dover Shchiach because the guy in the outer area isn't going to be so quick to kill the yid in the outer area because he's afraid at any moment the yid in the inner area could walk out and see him. So therefore, it's a davar shchiach that they would live there. And therefore, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that you have to be maskir from the guy if it's a davar shchiach. additional dinim in this regard. Reish Lakish, the Talmidei the Rabbi Chanina. Reish Lakish and the Talmidei Rabbi Chanina iklu lahau punduk. They once came to a certain hotel, a certain innkeeper, and they stayed there for Shabbos. Rashi points out that the Havu Dairei Bay Behau Chotzer Trei Yisraelim. There were more than two or more Yidden were living there. The Chad Nachri, and there was one guy living in this area. Shesachar as diraso mechavero. He was also a renter. All of them were renters, and the guy also rented from another guy. And that Shabbos, the guy who had rented, who lived in that apartment, wasn't there. So it's just two Yidden. But the two Yidden don't need to do anything with the guy that's not there, as we learned previously. In a situation where the lessa, where the guy isn't there, then you don't have to go and rent from. However, Yireim, Rashi says, Shema Yavo Nachri B'Shabbos. They were concerned that the Nachri might come back on Shabbos. Alternatively, the Bach brings down Lishnachrina. It's a pundok, Sheyesh Bo Chadorim Psuchim L'Chotzer. Bach Sanoim Nichtosim Dem, V'Oshim Zal Zer Gabi Shabbos. So, it's a similar scenario, that they each had rooms and they were going to ruin it in the Chotzer. Whatever the scenario was, the guy wasn't there to ruin it for them. And the question that was brought up between Reish Lakish and the Talmidim Rabbi Chanina was the following. Should we go and rent it from that guy? Because the outside chance he comes back on Shabbos, he'll ruin it for us. But that guy's not here. But the owner of the apartments, Vahava Maskir, he was, in fact, there. The one who rented out the apartments, he lived there. The one who owned everything was around in a different courtyard, so he didn't ruin it for them. But the person who he had rented it to, the guy wasn't there, but the owner of the apartment was nearby. So what they asked, Amru, the Talmidim of Rabbi Chanina asked to Reish Lakish, should we in this situation, Ma'ul Megar Mineh, should we go and rent from the guy who owns the apartment, even though he's not living there? What are the two sides of the coin? In a situation where he can't push the tenant out, so then there's no shaila. Lo tibay loch, the lo agrina. We can't go and rent it from the owner because he doesn't have the right. There's a lease, and it's a 1-year lease. You can't just throw the guy out. So therefore, he doesn't have the right to throw the guy out if he comes back that Shabbos. So therefore, renting from him does no good. We all agree to that. Ki tibay, where our question gets off the ground, however, is in the following. He doesn't have a rental agreement. There's no lease. And if he tells the guy who's renting from him, sorry, I'm taking the house back. I'm taking the apartment back and be gone. So if he has the right to do that, that's when the question gets off the ground. My, do we say, kiven the motzi misalik lagrina, since he could go and throw the rental guy out at any moment in time, so therefore, he's a perfectly good person that's considered the owner and user of that apartment, even if he's not there right now. Or do we say, oh no, Dilma, hashta mia ha lo salke? Or do we say, no, right now, the person who's renting the apartment owns it. He hasn't thrown him out yet. So therefore, we can't rent from the owner. We have to rent from the renter, and he's not there. That was the question that the Talmidim of Rabbi Chanina asked Reish Lakish. So Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish responds to him, and he says, Niskar, let's not take any chances. Rashi brings down the Sofik Divrei in Lahakel. Since this is Sofik in Erevin, you're allowed to go to Lahakel. So let's go and take the lenient opinion, which would be to rent from the guy who owns it. And then if the other guy comes back in the middle of Shabbos, we're still allowed to go and carry here because we did rent from the owner. But since this is a cool opinion and we don't know for certain, when we reach our Rebbe's in the south, right? We have a number of places where it says that there were great Talmidei Chacham in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. So when we go meet up with our Rebbeim in the Darom, so Nishalahem, we'll ask them, did we do right? So they went eventually to the Rabbanim in the Darom, which included Rabbi Ephes, who was the head of the Beis Medrash, and also Shailul Rabbi Ephes. So they asked Rabbi Ephes, what should we do? What should we have done? So Amalahan, he said, you did good. You did the right thing, because in fact, we do paskin over here that the person who owns a building, who can kick the tenant out at any time, you can rent from him. You don't have to rent necessarily from the tenant. Another story, another case. Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Asi, these three great Amoraim, iklu lahu punduk. They also came to a hotel one time. They came to this rental place where only Jewish people were. There was no Nachri at the start of Erev Shabbos, and they made an Erev Chatzeros. Now, when there was no guy there, but the guy showed up on Shabbos, the owner of the place, the also Nachri Mari the Punduk Bishabosa, the owner of the place now shows up on Shabbos. And they now ask, Amru, Ma'alu Megamine, now on Shabbos, can we go and rent from him? He ruins it for them. So the question is, what can they do about it? Are they allowed to rent it from him on Shabbos or not? That's what they asked. Ma'u le'megar mineh. The three Amoraim, they asked, what should we do? Should we go and preventively, prophylactically go and rent from him? So in case he comes on Shabbos, we're okay? Or is it not necessary? Because if he comes on Shabbos, he doesn't ruin it for us. We'll go and do something then. We'll rent it then. So they said, these are the two sides to the coin. So cher kima'ari dami, renting from the guy is no different than making an Erev. And an Erev has to be done before Shabbos, so too the renting has to be done before Shabbos. Mam Arev Mibo Yom, if you want to make an Erev Chatzeres, you have to do it before Shabbos starts, so too. Avsocha Mibo Yom, if you're going to rent it from the guy, you have to do it before Shabbos starts. Or do we say no? Or do more, the other side of the coin, Socher is Kimavatel Rishus Domi. The renting is no different than one person being Mavatel Rishus to others, and that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Mam Mavatel Rishus Bafilu B'Shabbos. Person can be Mavatel's Rishus if he doesn't want to participate in the Erev Chatzeres. He says, okay, I give up my rights here. And then they're given up. And he doesn't have to do that even before Shabbos. He can even do it on Shabbos. So too, maybe Af Socher, Afilu B'Shabbos. You can rent from the guy even on Shabbos. So those were the questions that they asked. Which side of the coin is correct? So they tried to answer the question themselves. First spoke up Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef. He said, Omar Niskor, yes, we're allowed to go and rent it too from this Wamaski, from this owner of the hotel. He came on Shabbos. We can rent it from him on Shabbos. Rav Asiya disagreed. Rav Asiya lo niskar. No, you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. He held the opinion that you must do it before Shabbos. So Hadeya Shlishi Achri Benem Amal Hur Vchia Bar Abba. So the third Amora said, we can be nismoch al divrei zokein v'nisko. We're allowed to take the leaning opinion of Rabbi Chanina Bar Yosef. He was the elder one, and we can rely upon him and rent from this owner of the hotel who came here suddenly on Shabbos. You're allowed to do that. They want to know if they did the right thing. Also, Shiloh, Rav Yochanan. So after Shabbos was over, they went to ask the Rebbe, Rav Yochanan. And he told them, Amar Lahen. We turn to Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Yof Asisem Shischartem. Again, you did the right thing. He told them that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. We'll just finish up a little bit more of the Gemara, because they asked the following question. Tov Bar Nardoi. When Nardoi looked at this psak of Rav Yochanan, they were surprised. Did Rav Yochanan really take this makel opinion? After all, Rav Yochanan socher kima'ariv dami. They held that renting is like making an eruv, and just like my lab, my ma'ariv mi bojom, af socher mi bojom. He seemed to compare the socher and the ma'ariv in some ways. So, isn't it the major way that they're compared? Is that just like the eruv has to be done before Shabbos? You can't make an eruv chaseris on Shabbos. So too, the rental from the guy has to be before Shabbos. So, how can you tell me Rav Yochanan says you're allowed to rent it on Shabbos? Where says no, they misunderstood Rav Yochanan. In fact, lo. Ma ma'arev v'afilu v'pochos mishav v'pruta. Just like they're comparing the ma'arev to the socher in these ways, but not in the way that we just said. That, we don't compare the ma'arev before Shabbos to the socher that's allowed to be done on Shabbos. In these ways, however, they're comparable. Ma ma'arev, just like you're allowed to do an erev v'afilu v'pochos mishav v'pruta, everybody can contribute less than a shav v'pruta, that is acceptable. So too, af socher, socher v'pochos mishav v'pruta. So too, you can do a rental with less than a shav v'pruta. And likewise, ma ma'arev v'afilu schiro l'kito. The Jewish person who lives there doesn't have to contribute to the Erev Chatzeros. Even his socher is lokit, the hired hands that he has working for him, are able to contribute on his behalf, so to say, and not ruin the Erev Chatzeros. So just like Mama Ariv, Afilu Schir Lakito, Ulchik Lakito, so Af Socher, Afilu Schir Lakito. That also works when you're renting from the guy. His workers can be rented from or participate in the Erev Chatzeros and not have the guy ruin it for them. And finally, the last case that they're comparable, umam orev chamisha sheshruyin b'chotzer achas, just like five people can live halachically by making an erev chatzeres in one yard, echad ma'ariv al yedei kulam, and one person can make the erev chatzeres on behalf of all of them, so too, socher nami, when you're renting it, chamisha sheshruyin b'chotzer achas, even though all five people are living there, and each of them theoretically should have to go and rent permission from the guy, no, echad socher yedei kulam, one of them can go and do it on all of their behalf. Now, there are a lot of particulates to this, how you're supposed to do this. We'll leave that for another time. With this, we conclude today's shiur.